Hi there. Welcome to the Digital India Podcast, your go-to source for insight on India's booming tech landscape and its pivotal role in shaping the future of global digital transformation. I'm Mohammed Ujale, and today we are diving deep into the cloud, AI, the incredible talent driving this revolution. The numbers speak for themselves. The global cloud service market is hurtling toward $1.5 trillion by 2030. And here is the kicker. India supplies 45% of the global cloud tech workforce. That's right. Nearly half of the brain behind the world's cloud migration, AI deployments, and digital overall are right here in India. But what does this mean for global enterprises? How are companies leveraging India's tech ecosystem to stay ahead? To unpack this, we are looking at Ahead, a US-based technology consulting firm that has made India the core of its global delivery engine. With over 500 professionals in India supporting everything from cloud strategy to AI implementation, Ahead's Executive Vice President Keith Odom calls India absolutely central to their success. In this episode, we will explore how India's talent pool is powering global cloud adoption, the AI revolution, and why most companies are not ready to find balance between innovation and cost efficiency, and why security is now number one priority in tech decisions, and the hottest industry betting big on digital transformation. Plus, Ahead's plan to double its India workforce this year, and why healthcare and finance are leading the charges. So whether you are a tech leader, an inspiring developer, or just curious about India's digital dominance, stay tuned. This is the Digital India Podcast, and we are just getting started. First of all, thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to interview you. Let me begin by asking you, how do you see India's talent ecosystem, especially around technology, software development, managed services, how those are evolving? What has been your sense, especially taking care of India business for long?
For us, so even in the US, from a cloud, data, app development, just modernizing applications, we have consulting teams, we have professional service teams, and then we have managed service teams. So what we've done with India is we've integrated India to all levels of that. So we're getting engaged with our clients at the very beginning. Ideally, we're helping them build the strategy around what are they going to do in the cloud? What applications do they want to do in the cloud? Does that application need modernized as it moves to the cloud? All those things. So we're helping on the front end strategy, governance, risk, all those things. Then the service team comes in and helps execute on getting things moved. And then the managed service team comes in to kind of take over day two operations. But it could be everything from just infrastructure in the cloud to taking on managing CI/CD pipelines for the client, or quality assurance on these pipelines and monitoring that on an ongoing basis. So for us, it's all kind of linked together. But the way we've built India into our thing is it's with us at all levels. So they're part of our consulting. They're part of our PS team. They're part of our managed service team, and it gives us the ability to kind of mix those teams. Now we could follow the sun in any level if we needed to. Speed was important, but getting talent to meet those needs is easier for us to find good talent in India than it is right now in the US. And you're getting it at a cheaper rate and all those things. So for us, quality is number one. And even here, like, we'll pay extra for quality to get the right resources. We're more focused on quality, having a good client experience, because we're not an organization that's kind of a boutique service group. We have relationships with clients for 15 years, and we want to have it for another 15 years. So we can't go in on any specific service event and have a bad experience, because it puts the whole relationship at risk. So we're very focused on quality and just delivering the best experience to our client. And we can do that with India, we can do it in the US, or we could do it as a combined team.
There is a lot of buzz around AI. There are a lot of companies trying to utilize AI in their services. What message actually it is passing to the enterprise customer, that there are a lot of portion that you can highly automate that may create some level of challenge, or even being very competitive, very reliable managed service provider. So what kind of opportunity from Ahead perspective that you see AI is going to bring, and how you are making yourself ready?
So two things I would say. One is we have a whole dedicated AI team, really smart people that are, I'll just say the way we're organizing around this is you got the front end piece, just like anything. So we have a whole team that can help clients with their strategy, with their governance, with the security around AI. But it's really around is your data ready? Can you actually run models? Can you do these sorts of things? And most clients are not in that situation. So what we're finding is we're spending a lot of time right now at the front end helping clients get ready so they can actually do and find some outcomes from an AI, figure out what those use cases are. So we have teams working on that. From a managed service perspective, we're really internally focused right now. It's how are we going to leverage AI to deliver a better service to our clients? And the example I can give you is we're in the middle of a POC right now, which is kind of threefold. It's have AI measure our call quality. And that's not just India. That's all interaction with our client. Give it a very subjective view of how was the call? Did we hit the right things? Did we talk about the right things? Did we position things correctly? But it's also doing for us is it's taking the agent decisioning out, which is AI can look at and hear the speech and they could tell if the client's getting emotional or if the client's getting upset. We want the virtual agent to decide, I should pull a manager onto this call. But leaving it to the agent, then you have all these things that come into it. Like, I don't want my boss to know I'm having a bad call. We want to take that out. As soon as the client is starting to get agitated, like, we got to fix this, pull the manager in without human intervention and things. So want to do things like that. But we also want to make our people talking anytime we're interacting with the client, we want to make them smarter. So from an AI perspective, again, looking at the speech of what we're talking about, it can be, oh, you're talking about this Microsoft patch. Okay. Let me automatically push you this data that I'll summarize for you about this patch. And it makes the agent smarter at the point of talking to the client. So we just want to deliver that better experience to the client. So we're looking at those use cases and how do we just get better at what we do? And then as we're continuing on the other side, the consulting side and pushing clients, we're getting to use cases, then managed service will have offerings to help monitor and manage those ongoing.
One more thing which enterprise look for is the cost optimization, because all this digital transformation deployment, whether you experiment with cloud, hybrid, on-prem, whether you think about AI, it requires definitely a lot of investment. So what they expect from their managed service provider, which they believe are the expert, how to optimize cost. That means cost optimization in terms of taking a decision. They highly rely on an organization like yours. So how do you see the cost optimization playing a key role, especially in terms of taking a lot of technological decisions?
I don't think that it's changed over the years. Right. I mean, automation will solve a lot of that. I mean, India brings a lot of that capability as well around just the cost structure of resources and things like that. So for us, it's automate everything. We have India into everything that we do, which gives us a better competitive advantage, not just cost, but more resources, better resources that we can go find in the market. So I think it's still comes down to people cost and then automating everywhere that you can.
One more thing which is really important for the customers, and that has become a kind of differentiator even for the vendors. They differentiate their service with the data security and cybersecurity. So how do you see the security becoming an integral component, and what kind of factor security playing in terms of the decision making by some of your customers?
I mean, security is, if not, it's the number one decision making. Like, doesn't matter if you're developing an application for, you know, you're very much a legacy kind of company. Security is number one. I mean, everybody at this point will probably have some sort of breach. And now it's, you know, how do you recover? How do you contain as quickly as you can? It's still at the forefront. I think from a differentiating standpoint, like in our SOC, so we have a SOC, we manage clients there. About 70% of everything that goes on in that SOC is automated. And we're just continually building IP on top of IP. And the more clients we have, the more IP we build that we can spread to all the other clients. So it's not just because I'm managing yours and I built you a piece of IP that automates certain tasks, I can now take that and apply it across all my clients and everybody takes advantage. So it's that adage of all boats rise. So the more clients we have that we're managing, the more IP we're building, and the more I can spread that across all my clients where they all can take advantage of it. And we don't necessarily charge. That's part of the service. That's part of the value that we kind of bring to the table. I mean, part of our differentiation too is we have Foundry. I don't know if you've heard. So we're building super pods with NVIDIA and Dells and the Ciscos of the world for big financials and accounts like that. But we're building these in our factory. And we're taking all those things into account, like what's the security profile? Mm. What is the best practice that we should be applying? So when we move that SuperPod from our factory onto the customer's floor, it's got the best practice. Everything is aligned already. And now it's a matter of kind of plugging in the power of the network.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can get going with the value added software around how we're doing large language models, what software are we using for that? What are the use cases? You know, getting through that plumbing phase and security being part of that, getting through that phase and getting to the value add phase as quickly as you can.
Now, in your overall scheme of things for India, what are the major additional capabilities you're looking at in terms of raising the numbers of headcount, maybe R&D research? What is your expectation from this region?
So today, we're about 500 people. We're probably going to get to 900-ish. If we have a really good year, we'll get to 1,000 by the end of the year. Security, we don't do security in India today. We've already started hiring. Mm. We are going to do that here. We're going to increase our SOC to here. The SOC's been all US for the 60-plus clients that we have. We are going to have a SOC here that's an India-based, leveraging the same tool set and everything that we're doing. Right. It'll be one team, but we are going to increase managed service to include security here. Plus, our security consulting teams have already started hiring here as well. So security will be a big one for us. The biggest one, though, will be in our cloud data space. We call it our digital solutions group, but it's cloud, it's app dev, it's modern, it's modernizing apps, and it's data. And that's where we're getting just big growth right now from a service perspective. So we're going to continue to add to that. That group today is our second largest group in India. There's about 60 or 75 folks in that. I expect that number to double this year. Managed service is going to add another couple hundred people here this year, just because that business is really growing. And we're going to introduce a new mid-market in the US, dedicated selling team to go after the mid-market, which is going to be good ground for us to provide the value that we bring in that space. So I think those are the two big areas of growth will be our data, cloud, and security. And security will be all net new. We've not done that here before.
What are some of the sectors wherein you have a very deeper engagement right now? And some of the sector where you see that a lot of work has to be done and there's huge potential, and which may be a focus for you down the line?
For ahead, the two biggest verticals are healthcare and finance. And we're about 33% healthcare, 30% finance. Those are our two biggest. We're heavily focused in healthcare. We just won healthcare partner of the year with Amazon. So we have one of our big offerings we're getting a lot of traction on is moving Epic from on-prem to the cloud. So we're doing that. Andy Sages is a field CTO for us. He leads our healthcare sector. So managed service, we're right there with them. So as we start to move Epic as an example to the cloud, managed service could be there to manage that once it gets to the cloud for our clients. But finance is very similar, but I would say we're farther along that our vertical is from a healthcare perspective, but our largest managed service clients are finance, not healthcare. So it just depends. Like from a managed service perspective, we have very large finance companies that we're managing, from mortgage to banking to you name it. Healthcare is big service, but more professional service, product deals, things like that. But yeah, those are definitely our two biggest verticals. Right.
Some of your customers, especially the finance and public sector, they prefer things either on-prem or maybe air gap. But I'm a company, obviously, I would like to go with cloud, a SaaS kind of model. So how do you balance?
We even have a third option for our clients. So again, we try to do whatever is best for the client. Like we don't want to go in there and tell the client, oh, you should move everything to the cloud. I don't know. Until we look at your applications, till we look at your business model and what you're really trying to do, we wouldn't know the answer to that. So what we like to do is go in again on the front end, help them with their strategy, build out the model. And if certain apps should go to the public cloud, we'll help you. Certain apps should stay on-prem, great. We'll help you. We'll help make sure they're secure. We'll make sure they're optimized. And if you're telling me you want to get out of a data center, but maybe the public cloud isn't for you, we have 7 data centers. We'll take it to our data center and we'll manage it there for you. If you don't want to own capital, I'll sell you the whole data center as a service, if that's what you want. That way it's all OpEx and you're just paying a very monthly fee and it's fully managed, fully deployed, optimized, monitored. And so again, we try not to go in with any preconceptions of what the answer is. Let's go in and understand what you're trying to do, and then we can get you to the right answer. For us, it really doesn't matter. It's whatever the right answer is, we can help you get that.
Mr. Keith, thank you so much for taking
time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, great. Thank you very much.